From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines for you this hour, next hour, Magic with Lon Milo Duquette. Berlin, we're going to have some fun with Lon. Thank you, by the way, those of you listening to us on WABC in New York, continuing to make Coast to Coast number one in the biggest city in America. Thank you again. Well, Dolly has spun into a hurricane heading toward the U.S.-Mexico border, where officials are now fearing heavy rains could cause massive flooding and levee breaks. They're starting to evacuate. Dolly was upgraded from a tropical storm Tuesday afternoon with sustained winds near 75 miles an hour and some strengthening of the Category 1 storm is forecast before landfall. Dolly is moving in at the rate of about 10 miles an hour, but it could get stronger. So let's say a little prayer. Maybe that thing will diminish. A flight carrying Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul, and I say Republican presidential candidate because he really hasn't dropped out yet, but a plane carrying him and six other members of Congress has made an emergency landing in New Orleans after a loss in cabin pressure. No injuries reported among the Continental Airlines flight's approximately 120 crew and passengers. A spokesperson for the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport says the plane landed without incident around 3:35. Ron Paul and the other members of Congress and the other members on the plane are all okay. Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez is on a shopping spree for military hardware from the Russians and already has a few energy deals in hand as well. Chavez called for a strategic alliance with Russia to protect his country from the United States, he says, having repeatedly accused Washington of plotting an invasion to destabilize his government. We've got on the line with us now Charles R. Smith, one of America's leading experts on cyber technology and its implications for war, terrorism, privacy. And here he is. Charles, this possible alliance, how real is it?
This is the usual story from Hugo. He usually does these kinds of things when the price of oil starts to dip a little so he can make a couple extra bucks on the side, pump it back up, go out, thump his chest, scream a little bit, buy some hardware that he can't use, and the price of oil goes back up because the speculators just love that kind of stuff. And then he's nice and quiet again.
Charles, I'm more concerned about the Russians and their reaction. I mean, are they playing along with Chavez and the Iranians, or are they just merely, you know, taking a step backwards?
No, actually, the Russians are in it for the money. Very simple and very straightforward. They would definitely love to sell as much hardware as possible. He's got the bucks. So anybody with a good checkbook and at least a decent record at the local bank is quite eligible to come in and buy away. Actually, Chavez purchasing things like Sukhoi Su-27 or Su-30 strike aircraft, the submarines that he's purchased from the Russians, these are typical multi-billion-dollar deals. Unfortunately, his military is ill-equipped and ill-trained to deal with such advanced weapon systems. So for all practical purposes, these things are they're wonderful showpieces. You might actually be able to fly them in a parade or once or twice, but locally they're not going to really disturb the balance of power since his armed forces really cannot absorb them very well.
So he'll have nice toys, he just won't be able to use them.
Yeah, and for a dictator, that's exactly what you usually like to have. If you can actually train your troops or your pilots to be able to use these things effectively, they do have a tendency to stage an election or at least a dictatorship or an overthrow. So if you're a dictator, you want to have pretty planes and lots of wonderful tanks that you can roll around and impress people with, but you don't want them to be militarily effective because your generals have a tendency to say, okay, we don't really need you this week, and then suddenly the palace is bombed and you're out.
Chavez, of course, Charles, would like to stay ruler for life. Do we know what's going on within Venezuela? I mean, is there any genocide going on, murders going on that, again, would merit the United Nations to try to go in, or even us? What's happening there?
At the moment, no. What really is going on, and I think part of what has driven him to make this wonderful show, has been his very unsuccessful sponsorship of the FARC rebels. So he has a nice, loose confederation with rebels in the South American area who are much better known for drug running than actually being socialist revolutionaries. So this is not really all that unusual for Chavez and his operations, trying to destabilize local governments or his neighbors. It's actually backfired on him because the FARC rebels, they carried a very good set of books. Mm-hmm. They were very good at that kind of thing. So they had an idea of where the money was coming from, who was working with whom. And the Colombian government, as you can well tell, has done an excellent job of penetrating FARC, even at the highest levels, where we saw the recent freeing of hostages.
Right.
So all in all, that was a very embarrassing affair for Chavez internally. And again, in order to try to distract attention, one obviously has to say, okay, the big bag Americans, they're going to come and invade. They're just offshore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, you can at least try to retain your power.
Also, Charles, cyber technology. Are you seeing anything unusual on the Internet these days in terms of Internet control or trying to shut it down prior to some kind of invasion or attack or anything like that?
We've had an extensive Internet-wide probe, essentially emanating from China. This is professional. This is not something that would exist without the Chinese government backing, considering the fact that the Chinese very tightly control their internet operations. So, again, the kind of sweeping effort that we've seen, this is a massive undertaking. It is clearly sponsored by the Chinese army. Again, we have noted that there have been several professional gangs, usually related to the triads. And in many cases, these gangs, which have extended themselves into internet operations, are either ignored by the Chinese government or in some cases backed because they are obtaining information both of a commercial and economic and in some cases military nature, which is again being funneled directly back to Beijing.
Let's keep our eyes on the Charles R. Smith website, softwar.net. Dark Knights star Christian Bale has denied allegations by his mother and sister that he assaulted them, and he is apparently cooperating with British police. Bale has not officially been charged with any crime, though there is some talk that he was arrested. Estelle Getty, the actress who spent 40 years struggling for success before landing a role of a lifetime in the 1985 series beginning as the sarcastic Sophia on television's The Golden Girls, has died. She was 84.
You show disrespect for our family, and family is sacred where I come from. Phil knew how I felt. You think it was easy for me? I did what I had to do.
But what did I do?
You know very well what you did.
I swear I don't.
Your dowry check bounced.
What dowry check?
Your father gave us a check for $2 million when we agreed to let you marry Phil.
$2 million for Phil? Wasn't exactly a buyer's market, was it?
Getty, who suffered from advanced dementia, died at home Tuesday at her Hollywood Boulevard home. Again, she was 84 years old. Doctors say the darndest things, especially when faced with malpractice woes, long hours, never-ending paperwork, and complaining patients. In the July issue of Reader's Digest, they interviewed two dozen doctors for its cover article called 41 Things Doctors Never Tell You. They've heard all kinds of stories. Now, listen to a few of these. This is the heading, What Doctors Really Think About You. Here's a cardiologist in Brooklyn, New York. I am utterly tired of being your mother. Every time I see you, I have to say the obligatory. You need to lose some weight, but you swear you don't eat anything. That's from a cardiologist. Here's an ER physician from Colorado Springs. I wish patients would take more responsibility for their own health and stop relying on me to bail them out of their own problems. There's another one, the heading, Doctors Know More Than the Web. You're sick, but you don't want to call the doctor. Instead of making an appointment, you log onto the web, you self-diagnose. And they say, basically, I have patients with whom I spend enormous amounts of time explaining things and coming up with treatment strategy. Then I get emails a few days later saying that they are looking at the website that says something completely different and wacky, and they want to do it. To which I say, but I don't, so why don't you get the website to take over your care? And then lastly, when it's time to schedule a surgery, this is from a doctor, a heart surgeon in New York. Avoid Friday afternoon surgery. The day after surgery is when most problems happen. If the next day is Saturday, you're flying by yourself without a safety net. Just a few of the comments from doctors. And also this email in from Linda up in Canyon Country in California. It's about 40 miles north of downtown L.A. She says, I just wanted to share some news with you, George. After 2 years of no bee sightings this summer, I think the bees are returning in record numbers. They're all over our garden. Maybe that's a good sign. We've got open lines for you this hour. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is open for you at 818-501-4721. And here's the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We've got open lines for you for this entire hour. And then next hour, Lon Milo Duquette joins us as we talk about magic. We'll pick it up by going to Texas. John, you are up with us. I hope you're not in the way of Hurricane Dolly, John, are you?
No, sir, I'm not. Matter of fact, I don't think we're going to get a drop from that up here and up this far north, you know, sir.
Good.
George, I want to tell you what a fantastic job you've done for filling in. I'm not filling in, for taking over for Art Bell, excuse me.
That's okay. Well, I did fill in a long time ago.
You sure did, but, I mean, it's just what a great selection they did choosing you, sir.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you.
Well, George, I know you don't believe in coincidences, so I want to tell you just two quick dreams my wife had back in the 70s.
Okay.
And number one was I went into the Air Force, and I got out after 4 years, and I couldn't make a good living, so I went back in. And I had orders to go to Washington, D.C. when I finished my tech school, and I apologized to my wife. I said, honey, you know, I tried to make a better living for him. Now we're going to be separated. It was so expensive that I couldn't take her and my our four children with us.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I tried every way to get out. I called San Antonio, and I tried to get out of those orders, and I couldn't get out of them. So my wife, we went to sleep that night, and she woke up the next morning. She said, honey, I dreamed that your orders got changed for Oklahoma. So I go to the school the next morning, and they called me to the office and said, your orders have been changed to go to Altus, Oklahoma. I said, you know, wow, you know, because I'm the type of person that I really don't believe in these kind of things. And then the only other time that happened was my son was a real good miler, and he was in the regional finals. And we went to sleep that night. My wife woke up next morning. She said, you know, honey, I dreamed that my son got bit in the left foot by a snake. So we go to the track meet, and he was in the front of the pack on the third lap. And his left foot collapsed, and he went clean into the grass and skidded on his belly. He had never done that before.
Oh, my God.
And that's two coincidences, George. And not coincidences, excuse me, sir. That's two things that happened that just made me believe that.
Your wife, she's good. She's tuned in.
Well, you know, and she used to do tarot cards. She used to do these kind of things because her grandmother was a fortune teller in California. But now, you know, we go to church. She's away from all that now, you know, and all the candle burning. And she never did anything, you know, bad, George.
Right,
just
right.
Trying to tell the future and stuff like that. But I just wanted to run that across to you, George. And I want to tell you, just God bless you for all the work you do. God bless Richard Hoagland and all the night owls that call in and make this the greatest show on radio. And, of course, to the high plane, up into the high plains, to the Radio Hall of Fame, Art Bell. What can I say?
Off it does. And that's going to be in November, by the way. And then I'm trying to get them to, of course, they're going to record it. But I want to get a clip so we can run it for you probably that Friday night. November 8th is I don't know what day of November 8th might be. It might be a Thursday. And if it is, then I'll try to run it on Friday night for you. Art Bell has been inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, which is one of the greatest honors one can get in this business. Let's go west of the Rockies. Los Angeles we go. Jan, it's your turn. Hi. Yeah.
Hi. What a beautiful night in L.A., huh?
Oh, it is. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I got to tell you. Listen, you know, I got this from one of your callers in the past. I personally don't believe that the media is biased left or right. I think it's down the middle. I think it depends on what part of the media you're talking about. There's something I wanted to ask you. When it comes to democracy in the Middle East, some people believe democracy will come to Iraq and spread throughout the region, and some don't. And I wanted to ask you, I've never heard this argument about India, and India being that India is by the Middle East. India is the world's largest democracy, and yet democracy, I could be wrong here, really hasn't spread from as much as we would like it to. So the question becomes, if it hasn't come from India, why can it come from Iraq? And I've rarely ever heard that argument. Do you know any ideas why?
There are some governments in some countries that cannot run on a democracy. I mean, you're right. India, look what they had to do and look what they had to go through to get to where they are today.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, you know, some of us are not really that old to understand the Gandhi times. But
yeah.
I mean, just from the old movies and things I would read about him and what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was struggle in that country.
Yeah,
but you're right. Not every country can do what we do. And even in our country, we see what's happening now with this capitalistic type society we have. It's collapsing around us. Not, you know, it doesn't work all the time.
Right. And, you know, when your caller in the past asked us about the India thing, I think we had another caller after that say, well, you know, India is not a Muslim country and they're not an Arab nation. I'd just like to cover all my bases here. Although India is not a Muslim country, they do have the third largest Muslim population in the world.
Yes, they do.
And they do have huge historical and cultural ties to Muslim nations, even though they're not a Muslim country. And by the way, they had a Muslim president. So, I again, anyone out, just you, George, because you seem like to be a really smart guy. I'm a first-time caller here. Anyone that says democracy comes through the region, why hasn't it come from India? And I think your callers, I got to tell you, they're really smart to bring up these topics. I'm just surprised no one in the media picks up on it, you know?
Well, good point. Good point indeed. Next up, east of the Rockies, Jeff in Missouri. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hey, long time no here.
Yes, sir. I know you're there. Yep,
I had a little close call last night real quick.
What happened?
A lightning strike just outside my window.
Did you see it or just hear it?
I heard it. My heart stopped for a minute.
The crackle of lightning. I've never had lightning hit me that close.
Yeah.
Must have been unbelievable. Did you jump?
Yeah, and my computer shut off.
Man, you're lucky you weren't on the phone because you could have gotten zapped right through the ear.
Yeah, but my main comment is about this new story I'm reading.
What's that now?
Russia is considering deploying nuclear bombers to Cuba.
Yeah, it sounds like the Cold War all over again, doesn't
it? Actually, it sounds like the missile crisis all over
again. Yep, sure does.
Did you get my email about it?
Yes, I did.
I was wondering if you're going to mention it or not.
I don't have to. You just did.
It's
worthy of more of a story.
Yeah, I just don't see how 10 interceptor missiles is how Russia sees that as a threat.
Well, you know, honestly, the Russians have subs all along our eastern and western coasts.
Yeah.
You know, they really don't need to put nuke bombers in Cuba.
Yeah.
They really don't.
But nice speaking to you again.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you.
Speaking to you, too. Do we have time for a quick first-time caller? Maybe we do. Hello there in Illinois. You're on the air.
Hey, George. My name is Spiro. I'm a first-time caller.
Hello, Spiro.
How you doing? I just randomly came across your show on WLS, and my sister and I have been real big fans ever since. I've been listening for about a year now.
Well, great. Thank you.
I just wanted to share an experience with you. Now, I grew up in the States, but I spent a lot of time in Greece, and that's where my my grandmother lives, my paternal grandmother. And last summer, we were stuck right in the middle of all those huge fires. Actually, we were cut off from being able to go to Athens in the north and down to the port city of Kalamata. And two nights before the fire started in our area, my grandmother and I, and basically all our family from the States, we were sitting on our balcony, and we saw a whole bunch of flying objects. We assumed, you know, initially that it was part of the meteor shower going on, because there is one visible at that time of the year. But we also live very close to quite a few ruins, and I don't know, you know, I hear sometimes you guys have people on who speak about, you know, environmental disasters being linked to either people attempting to contact or having some sort of contact. And it just was really frightening because it went up the entire east side of Greece all the way up into Albania.
Well, you know, Spiro, that too. Back in the early days of antiquity in Greece, the gods could have been extraterrestrial. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Interested in podcasts, downloading past programs? You can become a member of Streamlink. How do you do that? Well, just go to coasttocoastam.com and read all about it. And welcome back to Coast, more Open Lines, and it is your turn, Jeff in Florida. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Noy. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thanks.
Yes, sir. This is pertaining to my son. He's 2 years old, sir. And what the deal is right above his crib, he is laughing and playing with something. I mean, I've looked for maybe shadows that maybe some of his toys are casting up there in the one spot of the corner right between the ceiling and the wall of his crib, but I cannot find anything. But he will laugh and carry on conversations with something. And he will leave his room and go get toys and try to hand it to whatever's up there.
Whoa.
And it's giving me the heebie-jeebies. I talked to you about a year ago, sir. I'm a sniper in the 10th Mountain Division.
Yes.
Sir. And I was telling you, yes, sir, about a spirit that me and my spotter had seen. But and I don't know. I believe, I guess, in guardian angels or, you know, your grandparents that have passed on.
I do, too, and it sounds like the two-year-old is very friendly with someone or something. And you know what? Sometimes we need to encourage that as parents. As long as you don't think the child is in harm or in any jeopardy and he seems to be happy-go-lucky, you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yes, Mr. Noy, I agree with you, but, you know, I've never got, like, the heebie-jeebies or the willies when I go into his room and he's doing this, but on the other hand, you know, I've done some horrible things in the military, and, you know, I just don't know if something, like, is disguising itself, you know, to be playful with my son for something I did.
And take it out on him? I don't know, Jeff. I don't think so.
Do you know anybody that I've heard on your past shows that, like, can, you know, they can feel or there's the entity or whatever it is good or bad? Or because it's really bothering me because it's every day, and it's not like, oh, I catch him every once in a while. This is an every day before he goes to bed, when he wakes up, this thing is in the room with him constantly.
Happy-go-lucky kid?
Very, very.
Well, that's a good sign. You know what? It could be a deceased relative. It could be an angel. It could be nothing. You know, maybe he's got this little vivid two-year-old imagination, but I don't think it's evil because it just doesn't sound like anything like that. I don't think your situation and some of the things you did in your life are being taken out on him. Now, be that as it may, if you need some more assistance, just search on my website for Marianne. She's a Ghostbuster. Email her. And she'll give you far better advice than I can.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay. You take care of yourself. Next up, first-time caller line, Marty in Missouri. Welcome to the program. Hi, Marty.
Good morning, George. How are you today?
All righty. And you?
Not bad. Been trying to get through to you for about a year.
Well, you did it.
I'm from down in Piedmont. Well, I actually live in Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Man.
I don't know if you were in St. Louis in the early 70s or not.
Moved to St. Louis in 1979.
Okay, so you're a little bit later, but did you ever hear about the UFOs in Piedmont, Missouri back in the early 70s?
Yeah, and then the great UFO crash in the 40s in Cape Girardeau, which
exactly.
is still a great story.
I'll tell you what, George, I saw them, and it was like there was a mothership, which other ones came out of, you know.
You saw the mothership?
Yes.
Why?
And I'll tell you what, George, one time I was driving out, you know, this down in the country down here. I think you know where it's at.
Oh, yeah.
Down around Clearwater Lake and down in that area, mm-hmm. you know. And my mother was riding with me out to see my girlfriend who lived about 10 miles out in the country. And there was one that went right over us. I'm talking probably 20 feet above the car. And it, no sound whatsoever. Had amber blue lights on it, you know.
And this was the mothership, or what do you think this was one of the ships from it?
This was one of the other ships.
Okay, but the mothership you saw, I want you to describe it to us as vividly as you can.
As vividly as I can, George, to be honest with you, like I said, it's back in the early 70s, 1971 or 72. It was just like a huge orb or light in the sky, you know, and you could see these five or six come out of it, you know.
But you couldn't see any structure to it, or?
No, it was too high up in the air.
Okay.
And what we had is, you know, and then the other one would come down, and I'll be honest with you, you know, I would, you know, back here in the country, we used to go out and date, you know, we'd go out and park out in the country, you know. And one night, to be honest with you, George, one came flying over me while I was out with my girlfriend, and I went to start the car, and it would not start.
It sounds like every textbook case, Marty, in a UFO sighting and visitation. In that area, well known for those kinds of sightings. You're not the only one out there that has seen these. Wild card line, let's go to you, Rick, on Coast to Coast. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I have a couple of dreams that I've had. I guess you can consider them maybe related to out-of-body experiences. I was listening to one of your shows last week when they mentioned that. One of the dreams I had, I dreamt I was falling from a very, very tall white building.
And you didn't hit the bottom, did you? Or did you wake up?
Oh, I hit the ground.
You did hit it. See, most people wake up.
That's what I heard. I've heard that.
I used to hear when I was a kid that if you hit, you die in your sleep.
Well, this is what I kind of wonder about that, because I was going through some hard times. I was in high school and everything, and it was a really, it's just this tall white building. No windows, no doors. It may have been just a structure, a monument or something. There's a bunch of flags surrounding it, you know, with the poles. And all you can hear is the wind and the metal hitting against the poles with the flags whipping in the wind. And I climbed to the top, and I jumped. but it was such a peaceful feeling to fall. And then I hit the ground, and next thing I know, I see myself laying on the ground. I'm above, like a spirit.
That's a weird dream. Not an OBE, but it's a dream for sure.
Well, two spirits came out. a dark black spirit came out of me, and then my spirit, me.
You're not a Gemini, are you?
No, Libra.
Hmm.
And this dark spirit left, and I went back into my body, and when I did, that's when I woke up. And when I woke up, you know, of course, my heart's beating 100 miles an hour. My adrenaline's pumping, and I'm shaking like crazy. But I was in the best mood, and I wasn't depressed. And it was just like, I don't know, something happened, and you know, things changed for me from there, that point on.
And you know what? You'll never look back. Keep looking forward. By the way, sometime today, I don't know what compelled me to do this, but I went on the Internet today to get some information on an old baseball pitcher who, when I was a kid, was one of the best. Don Drysdale used to pitch for the Los Angeles Dodgers and went off to become a great broadcaster. I guess he died at the age of 56 in Montreal. He had a heart attack in his room. He'd been dead for 18 hours before hotel employees found him after his staff said, "Hey, where is he? He's missed the broadcast." But it was strange because out of nowhere, I haven't thought about Don Drysdale since my baseball card days. But you know what? I had to go search it out, and I just checked out more of his stories. He was a great baseball player, but has anybody else thought of that? I mean, I don't know why I did that. Damien in Texas, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Damien, what's up?
Hello, George.
Hi.
I come to you in truth, wisdom, and light.
Well, thank you.
My name is Damien, and I'm possibly what you've referred to in the past as a walk-in. And I wanted to clarify some things for you.
All right.
We are conscious energy that has made a choice not to be born in a physical plane in order to go through all those changes, and especially the length of time here.
Right, but you must be in some kind of physical body now in order to make this phone call, right?
I am in a container. We chose to come here instead to occupy a container or body for a short period of time to express our will and then continue on to our next destination. It's all to facilitate the evolution of the human race as a whole. It's not about anything else. The simple truth is that we come here because enough physically incarnated beings will our arrival.
Isn't the name, by the way, Damon, the name of the kid in The Omen? I think it was.
I'm not familiar with...
It is the Antichrist. You're not the Antichrist by any means, are you?
No, sir.
Okay. I mean, you're good entity, I would guess. I would guess.
I believe the term would be indifferent.
All right. Now, what becomes of this container body when you're done?
Okay, well... Basically, you know, enough physically incarnated beings that are here, that have been born here, will us to come here. And we're being called more and more during this time because you're all about to go through a major transition. Everyone's talking about, you've mentioned things like a critical mass and stuff like that.
Well, then we're looking toward 2012, too.
It corresponds to several past shifts in consciousness that you've had, and all of this is in cycles, just like your seasons, just like your physical cycles that you go through. There's no need for fear. There's no need for paranoia or negativity surrounding what you refer to us as walk-ins. You invited us, and we're honored to fulfill your request, even this phone call connection.
Are you like angels, Damien?
Is a specific request from your unconscious, George.
Are you like angels?
Well, I'm not sure if... I guess it maybe if you've seen me outside of the container, you may think that the image corresponds to something in your history books or something, but really we're what you would call movement or vibration or energy. There really is no word for us because we are before language.
What do you look like, though? You just said if we were to see you outside of the container.
You would have to be very, very sensitive to see me outside of this body. You probably look like something out of the corner of your eye, and when you turn, there would be nothing there.
Like a shadow person, maybe. West of the Rockies, Casey in California. Hi, Casey. Good morning. Good evening, wherever you are.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, George.
Sure.
Over the last couple of weeks, you've had both an astrophysicist on from NASA and an astrologer on. And I was wondering, since the moon is slowly going farther and farther away from the planet, there is going to be a point where it's going to fly off into deep space. And so... I guess the question you're going to have to pose to the astrologer when he comes back on later on in the year is, what happens to astrology when the moon flies off into deep space?
They're going to have to change it. Hey, it was the same thing when they decided Pluto wasn't a planet anymore. What did that do? But you know what? I don't think we have to worry about the moon flying off. It's moving away at what, less than an inch a year or something like that?
Well, the other thing that would be nice to figure out is what's going to be the effects on the Earth if the tidal forces simply disappear.
Well, now that is a big story when that happens. But, you know, I wonder if anybody's ever predicted the time period it would take for the moon to get out of our grasp.
Because somewhere along the line, there is going to be a slingshot effect, and it's just going to get away from us. And I'm sure with the computers that we have today, we could probably mathematically calculate that out and figure out when exactly that's going to happen. And,
let's say it's 100 million years from now.
You
think we're going to be here?
Well, we certainly won't, but
that's true.
The solar system's only get a lifespan of another 4.5 billion years, and then it all goes up anyway.
We'll be piggybacking onto Mars by then. Carlos, welcome to the program. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, good evening, George. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to call up about a stingray story that I had seen in the paper. It's out of Thailand. They captured a 44-pound stingray with a 5-foot-long tail.
Same thing that killed Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter.
Right, only they're calling this a giant stingray because it's so big. It's like 6 feet wide, or at least. I wanted to mention a cartoon about the Mayan calendar that I thought was pretty good. Maybe put on website, Daily News in L.A., had an Argyle sweater, July 19th. Should I read you pretty much what the cartoon says? Or
is it that funny?
Yeah, maybe funnier to see it.
Or is it one of those things you got to see? Send it to me, and I'll send it to Lex, my webmaster.
Can you put me back on to get an address?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll just tell it to you. It's Lex, L-E-X, at coast2coastam.com.
Right, okay.
Okay, yeah, just send it to him, and he'll take a look at it. Let's go to you, Tiffany, in Texas. Hey, Tiffany, what's up?
Hey, hon, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right, love your show. Listen, Jordan, I wanted to ask you your perspective, or if you have your own theory, possibly, on all the theories going on about the date December 22nd, 2012, and according to, you know, the Maya or the Aztec calendar, it just kind of ends there. So what do you think?
Well, it's December 21st, so you're a day off. 2012.
Right.
You know, we get a lot of theories, and we're going to continue to do more and more shows as we get close to that date, including on that date. It'll be a Friday night. We'll have a huge roundtable discussion on what's happening. I think it has something to do with the sun, and I think we're already in it. I don't think that date's going to come and everything's going to, you know, fall apart or anything like that. I think we're seeing
things happen. You think it'll be mildly catastrophic just due to seasonal change or a shift on the axis?
Yeah, I do. I think the Mayans were aware of some kind of celestial event. You know, a lot of people say, no, it's a period of enlightenment. Everything.
Yeah, some people say we're going to, excel.
And I used to say that.
I hope so in a way. You know, maybe we will.
Maybe it's time for a new development of mankind.
Right. I think so. Also, if I could, one quick question. I wanted to ask you, all the women in my family, and especially me, we have very vivid dreams and a lot of time is very intuitional. And I often wake up, and you know, when you first wake up from a very intense dream, the longer you're awake, the kind of it starts to slip away.
Yes.
I wondered if, I believe that when we dream, not all the time, but a lot of the time we kind of go to another plane, or I know another level of consciousness for sure, but, do you believe that maybe that's like our, not so much soul or spirit, but, you know, it's a higher plane, our subconscious?
I think dreaming.
What do you think?
I think dreaming, first of all, is critical to our own physical development, and you know, you have to do it. What is that dream state? It's perhaps it could be another dimension. It could be another area. You know, there are so many things that you can do in that dream state to get things done, solve problems.
Yeah. I mean, like astral. I mean, it's just, sometimes you feel like I've been places where I'm like, you know, I mean, it's not just deja vu, but like I know this place. You know, if everything from smells to what's around the corner, it's just so, maybe, you know, it's a lot more vivid for me than other people, but you understand what I'm saying.
Have you ever had a dream and you knew you were in a dream?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's called lucid dreaming.
Oh, yeah.
Once you learn how to control that.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
All right, so see, you can do some remarkable things. Indeed. Thanks, Tiffany. We're right around the corner now from bringing in Lon Milo Duquette as we talk about magic right here on Coast to Coast AM. So we'll be right back. Don't touch your dial.